It's Wednesday, April 24th.
Unreal. Give me a date on there.
I just did. Wednesday, April 24th.
Paul says in 1 Corinthians 19, though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now listen to what he has to say. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are with under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. He said, I became as one without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I may gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might be all, by all means, save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker thereof with you. I have all I can do to read it, but I'm doing this again. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it without to obtain a corruptible crown. We do it to an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. And this is a verse that came to mind. But I keep my under my body, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. That's quite a portion of scripture, and we don't look at it that way. It's like there's a thing in people that want, you know, we want everybody to become like us, and that's not what Paul is saying. He said, "I became as a weak, I became under the law, I became whatever." You know, he even had his Timothy or one of them, he had them circumcised so that they would meet the requirements of the law. And I've started to understand that. You don't bring the sinner in by becoming righteous. You know, you associate with his difficulties, and that's what he's saying. You associate with who he is, and that way you can reach him. And I can understand that.
You know, it's funny. You can, at least in the natural, accuse Paul of being a hypocrite in all this.
Yeah.
You know, but you do it with the right heart, and that's really not what it is.
Yeah. I had something happen today. Charlie, I mentioned a little bit to Corky about it, but sometime early this morning, Candy had a dream, and it's one of the most profound dreams I think I've ever heard, and it has to do with our church building and so forth, and what happened as she shared the dream to me, and what I'd like to have her do is share it to all you guys at some point. She's like her ma and long-winded, so it takes her a while, you know, to share it. But anyway, as I heard her share this dream that she had, I immediately got the interpretation. And that's the first time that's ever happened. I've never had it ever happen. I knew the spiritual side of this dream. And one of the things that helped me, of course, is the fact that I have had similar dreams, but not recently. You know, it's been a while. And I understood the spiritual significance of some of the parts of the dream. But anyway, I'm not going to get into it. If I get into it at all, I'll say too much. But when we got a chance, we need to have her share this for you guys. You got to hear the dream.
Think maybe Sunday morning?
Well, sometime. And when you do, then you see if you come up with what happened to me. I understood the dream. It was a God-given dream. And it wouldn't seem so, but it is. And it's not anything different than what we've been talking about for quite a while. I'm going to skip a little bit, but there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 that says, "The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet." And I don't know, have you ever done any thinking about that verse? And so here's my rendition, my thinking. A prophet can be of the devil and speak godly things. You know what I mean? He can't be 1 foot in the devil's kingdom and 1 foot in God's kingdom. He that God sends speaks the words of God. That's what it says. That's what John the Baptist said. And so, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And so, in order for a prophet to function, he has to have the word of God in him. He can't have the word of the devil in him and the word of God in him and prophesy. It's not going to work. And we have not, you know, we haven't recognized that, we haven't realized that. But when the prophet spoke, when any of them, Isaiah and Jeremiah, or any of them spoke, they're speaking for God. They're not speaking also from the devil, or it wouldn't be recorded in the scriptures. And so, was this also their life? Was that part of them? Of course it was. They weren't two different people, they were one person. And so, a prophet, in order to prophesy, has got to have the word of God anymore. It would be a false prophecy. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Well, anyway, so the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So, in order to prophesy accurately, you have to be taken in God's word, or God's word has to be in you to do it. Otherwise, does a fountain bring forth both good water and salty water, or what are the two things? Brackish.
Bitter.
Bitter. You know, do they both come forth? No, it's going to be one or the other. You follow what I'm saying? And so, what we have is churches and false doctrine with prophets. And what is a prophet going to prophesy? The doctrines of the church. You know, when years ago, and I hate to say this and be specific, but I'll just say it, a church that I was a part of. And I used to wonder about the prophecies that were given over this in the individual that was over the church. And the prophecies were always upbuilding or uplifting or elevating or exalting that individual who was bringing some things that were false. If that prophecy did not exalt that individual, the prophet was removed from the church. Do you follow me? Is that being honest with the scriptures? Is that being honest before God? Here's a Jeremiah that we've been talking about. And he stood up and he prophesied. He spoke for God. And they called him a heretic. And they accused him. And they said he was in false doctrine. And they said all kinds of things about him. And in the river verse 20 that we mentioned last week, about Isaiah 9 verse 20, or 20 verse 9, not Isaiah, Jeremiah 20 verse 9, he says that, he said, "I'm not going to speak for God anymore." But he said, "But the word of God was in him like a burning fire in his bones. And he couldn't but speak the words of God." Well, anyway, there's a lot of difference between that and the false prophet. You know, John the Beloved said that that many false prophets are going to come into the world, and they that don't believe every spirit, but cry the spirits to see whether they be from God or not. Well, if we're not taking in the Word of God, are we going to prophesy accurately? Mm. If the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet? Mm. Mm. And of course, that could be 100% because we're not 100%. But do you follow what I'm saying?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so, so by us taking in God's word, like it tells us, the whole Bible tells us to do that. But by us doing it, we begin to fulfill the scriptures, like Psalm 1, and the promises, you know, John 8:31-32. We begin to do what it says to do. It says, if you continue in my word, is that not what we're doing? Then you're my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, duh, as people say, you know, it makes sense. It didn't used to, but it's starting to make sense. So something is happening to us. And when you hear that dream that Candy had, I listened to it. I thought I could understand the dream. I can understand it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, now we got to start talking about something else. Who's
married?
You got to be kidding me, Charlie! You didn't get that chair.
I was thinking. Why? That was a. That's a nice looking chair over there. anyway, you know that scripture, the prophet is subject to the prophet. You think that's subject to other prophets in the church, or is it an indication that what you are in within you is going to have an impact on what your prophecy is?
Is what you are. Mm. Can you be a hell raiser and a godly person at the same time? Can a fountain have bitter water and sweet water at the same time? Mm. Can you be that?
Mm, yeah. Mm.
And I'm saying, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says, the good I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. But that's a little bit different picture, I think. You listen to him, and there may be inner battles that go on, but I don't see him as outside battles.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear it anywhere in the scriptures. Or he hides it good.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the seventh chapter of Romans seemed out of place. So much so that when I was talking to a pastor about it one time, and he said, no, he said, that shows a former life of Paul. That was not present. And I'm saying it might not be an obvious thing. It's an inner battle that Paul is fighting. That's kind of what he says in the seventh chapter.
Yeah.
There's within me a battle, you know. It's an inner warfare.
You know, to what you just said, I agree that if it's your true nature, it's hard to be good and to be bad at the same time. Yet the setting we just kind of went through in chapter 9, 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to the end, talks about how, Paul became a Jew or became a Gentile or became with the law or without a law in order to ensure that no one that he was trying to witness to felt that they got lost. So in that way, especially in the context or from the point of view that when you're trying to win the lost, you want to at least be able to not exclude anybody. So
exactly.
So in one hand, I totally understand what you're saying. On the other hand, we have a very often say, when in Rome, do as the Romans, the kind of cliche that we often throw out, so not to offend and not to cause that offense to be a stumble. So it's interesting, but I think that there's an interesting comment there, because if your true nature is not good, then I don't know how you can be truly doing good work.
Exactly.
So, but it's interesting, the contrast between what we just said and then the comment you made.
But what we were, in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where we were talking about a minute ago, and the nature of that chapter is that, and out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Back in John 7. And so he said this, he spoke of the Spirit that they should receive. Something powerful is going to happen. So if it's out of the belly, is that kind of your person?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you do? Out of their belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yeah.
See, I think a parallel scripture would be, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah, amen. I was, because belly kind of refers to out of your core.
Yeah.
Out of your true nature.
I think that's right.
So, and it's not that we don't make mistakes, because we do. But one of the things, and I just ran into that big time, one of them is to admit a mistake. And the other one is to try to hide it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And Corky knows more about what the thing than probably. I don't want to put it on the tape right now. But at the expense of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, and it,
we'll be fine, but
that's really a great point, because it speaks to the condition of the heart again.
Yeah.
I mean, we all need to be able to admit we made a mistake and repent.
Yeah.
And there's no good thing that comes out of trying to hide a mistake versus owning it so that you can make a real repentance.
Yeah.
I mean, versus, I wouldn't have done this if so-and-so hadn't done that. You sort of make it one of those conditional, instead of just, I'm a sinner,
So my point, that I think is vital here, is that we can't do what we're doing without also doing what we have been doing. And that's kind of a roundabout, strange way of putting it, but you can't be a prophet prophesying things that are revelations that are going to help the body unless you have the revelations being brought into you. Do you follow what I'm saying? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And let's make it on a personal basis. My spirit is subject to who I am. I can't, somebody over at church, and without naming names, he can't speak one thing and be doing something else. it's going to catch up with him. Is it? Does it always eventually catch up? So God is putting his word in us. He's writing it on our minds and in our hearts, and it is coming out during the services as we quote, prophesy to one another. It says, let the prophet speak two or three, let the other judge, if anything be revealed to another, you know what I'm saying? Something be revealed to another that says, why, let the first hold his peace, that you all may learn that the right way to learn is what we're doing. And we haven't reached any great plateau yet. We haven't reached any great place, you know what I mean? But that's the only way I can see that where you're going to learn. You can't learn from some nincompoop that's a self-proclaimed prophet or self-proclaimed intellect. You know, you keep listening, you keep hearing intellectual things that are, the Holy Spirit was not given to interpret the law or to interpret the letter. He was given to feed us with the Spirit. He takes the letter and turns it into Spirit. I think. And so if you don't have this setting, and you have people that are not really a part of the Word, and they're not, the Word is not being formed in them, and it's not being written on their minds, written in their hearts, how do they prophesy?
Very possibly falsely.
Falsely, yeah.
And poorly.
Poorly.
That's what came to my mind.
And so what's happening, the thing that after a while, I started looking at the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I mean, not just the whole thing. I mean, just the whole context of what that says in 1 Corinthians 14. We're not talking about predictors, or we're not talking about those that prophesy the future. We're talking about those who edify, who exhort, and who comfort. That's now. That's here and now. It's not, you know what I mean? It's not 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years on the line. It's easier, nice to prophesy about things that are coming 100 years from now. It ain't going to matter anyway. We'll all be dead. But right now is when we need the help. You know what I mean? to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. Is that what it says? And so if an unbeliever comes in and he hears him speak in tongues, you say, you're all crazy. But if he comes in and he hears them all doing exactly what we hear doing going on in our service, except the next step up is God improves it. Is God guides us into a better thing than what we have. We're just a little, maybe playing in a sandbox yet, but I can see in a future sense that he's guiding us the right direction. And so then a stranger comes in and he hears what we're saying. And you know what? He doesn't have to hear anything different than what we heard Sunday morning. That's all he has to hear. And he'll be convicted and say, that's what I want. And you hear that dream, and then you give the interpretation of it. And I said, I understand it. If I ever have, I understand this one. God's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. And that was kind of the nature of what I heard. In the best way I've ever heard it.
You know, it occurs to me that a prophet needs a church where truth is the standard.
Exactly. Otherwise, what does he do?
Yeah, it's a joint enterprise. It's a, you know.
Yeah. Otherwise, we got Jeremiah. Mm-hmm. Every time he'd speak for the Lord, they'd defame him, they'd ridicule him, they'd laugh at him, you know. Until he got to the point, he said, and I thought, this is what I want to write to Scott. And I don't have his address yet, but it got to the point that he said, I'm not going to say this anymore. I'm not going to speak for the Lord, no more, that's it. He said, but the word of God was in me, like a fire burning in my bones. And I thought, you know what, that's happening to me. And guess what? It's also happening to you guys. I can hear it in you. The fire is starting to burn. When Jesus said, or when John the Baptist said, that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. What is a fire? What are we talking about?
Burns off the dross or whatever, huh?
Well, it mentions that in Malachi, but it's more than it's like you know what the Word of God in us becomes after a while? A fire.
See?
It's hot. I can feel it in me. Some of the steam that I felt 50 years ago when the Kennedy Chapel was in the beginning parts of it, I'm starting to feel again this inner burning, the sensation, this excitement. You know, it's too much for an old guy. At the same time, God seems to take care of that part.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, it occurs to me that we look at ourselves and we see ourselves as being less than perfect. Our priorities are messed up and whatever. But I don't have any agenda beyond the Lord's agenda. Now, I personally don't. And I don't think anybody else here does either.
No,
there's plenty of people. Plenty of Christians out there who have a different agenda than...
You know what? God is the only one that can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't take any credit. God is the one that has done what He has done in us.
So, to that extent, you know, I'm... I don't know if the word's pure, but, you know, I'm... And we all are. I think our agenda is God's truth. Then,
yeah.
Yeah, if you're really interested in God's truth and not interested in self-elevation or
whatever,
the most wonderful building or the number of people that you have or how much money is being collected on Sunday, and all of the non-godly things that people get focused on, you know.
Making sure that other people are down below you or whatever, you know.
Yeah, kind of establish their position. You know, it's interesting. You kind of touched on something, Charlie. You can have truth, but if the church body isn't interested in truth, it just availeth nothing. I mean, you can have a revelation. Have a revelation that basically goes nowhere because it doesn't line up with what the belief system already is. You could not believe Jesus was a man, be told the revelation that Jesus is a man, and totally ignore it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't line up with what you think.
Yeah. And it could be expressed in the very best way that could ever be expressed, and still not going to sink in.
Because if the heart isn't open, for truth, and whatever someone wants to share, if you search it in the Word, and the Word confirms it, then you have to acknowledge, well, what you believed wasn't, and you have to change. You have to accept that God has given you new light, or original light in that area, and what are you going to do now? Are you going to accept that you were deceived or didn't have that light, or are you going to accept that light and grow in God.
Yeah.
Right.
So, it says in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And we see this in, I can't tell where, Leviticus, I guess, 23, 26 or something. There's a couple of places it's where it is quoted from. And it says, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Okay, now tell me. Explain that to me. What is going to come out of their bellies? Rivers of living water. What are we talking about?
Sounds like the Holy Spirit to me.
But I mean, what else?
The Word.
Just a gushing of water or wind or... What are we talking about? Out of his belly shall flow rivers of... I don't think so. Words.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Living words. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But and when the Holy Spirit sends them out, they become life and not just empty words. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So he's actually talking, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So we're actually talking about God's Word coming out of people. And we're not false doctrines, but truth.
Mm-hmm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall go out and breathe the Spirit upon people. Is that the rest of it? And you shall be my witnesses. Well, exactly what are we talking about? We're talking about words.
Mm-hmm.
Truth.
Uh-huh.
So he told the Pharisees, he said, you go out and you make one
convert,
but what's the word he says?
Proselyte.
And you make him two times the son of the devil that
perdition.
You are.
Son of perdition or something.
Son of perdition, yeah.
And so what happens? See, people are making proselytes, but they're making more of themselves. They're not making more Christ, they're making more of themselves. And I see it every so often, and God have mercy on me for any judgments. But certain ones that I know that are ministers, and I see the pomp and the pious, I don't want to say swagger, but I shouldn't be past their judgment. And Lord have mercy on me. Please do it. But I think, oh God.
But there's a huge revelation in that. Do you want someone, is it your heart to want someone to follow what you're saying?
I don't
you
want someone me. To... Don't follow
wants,
me.
No. But there's a huge revelation that because too many people want them to be following what you're saying instead of following God.
Yeah.
And they try and insert themselves in the link.
Yeah.
Like somehow you're a link to God when there really is no... There's no gateway. The only gateway is Christ.
Yeah. Well, God has done a major thing in us, and we need to allow him to finish it. And Lord, finish in us what he started, and let us stay out of the way. You know?
That's a constant prayer.
Yeah, let us stay out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see finished products, but you know what? Whether I'm still alive or not, let the Lord finish him anyway, whether I see it or don't see it.
Well, if your heart's right, you're going to see it. You just don't know which side you'll see it from.
I'll see it from.
And at the end of the day, does it matter? You know, that's it.
Okay. Which brings up another scripture. Let me think of where it's at. It's in 1 Corinthians 2. And 13th chapter. You tell me what this means. Without my right glasses here, it's really a tussle, but...
You tell us, we'll read it for you.
1 Corinthians 13, maybe 12.
For now we see, though through... Oh, yeah, right, you shared this one with me earlier this week. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
Okay, now stop and think about that. What do you mean? We're going to know as we are also known? Does that mean now? What does that mean? That means that we're going to have a different a way of understanding than we do now? A lot deeper? We will know as we are known? That tells me that somehow we're going to know things then like they know things about us right now.
Yeah, I even think this setting, the context, if you start up on 8, 8 through 13, and really the whole setting there, 8 through 13 on 1 Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 13. I mean, we quote 13 all the time, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. You know, but because Keith shared this with me, and he was more excited than I was getting excited, and I had to go back and read a little bit farther above, and it clicked into me a little bit better.
And so, yeah, the rest of the verses. Go back to verse. Well, actually, verse 9.
Yeah, I started at 8. But
yeah, I don't know if I can grasp what that's really saying.
Well, exactly. I went back and forth on that theme.
Are we talking about going into the next life, or what are we talking about here?
I don't think Paul makes it clear.
Yeah.
It could apply to both, either.
Then I shall know just as I, but then I shall know just as I also am known. I don't get it.
It's kind of scary a little bit.
I don't really.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You kind of figure heaven, but maybe not.
Mm-hmm. See, verse 12 says we threw our seats our glass darkly. But then face to face. Now that kind of makes something kind of clearer. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am now known. You know, it's like we're going to, how much revelation are we going to get here?
Well, maybe it means that if you end up being face to face, you knew whatever you needed to know.
I don't know.
You know?
Well, mine uses the word mirror.
Yeah.
For now you've seen a mirror dimly, but then face to face.
Right.
It's like you're looking in the mirror. It's like when you get out of a hot shower, the mirror's all fogged up, it slowly evaporates, and then all of a sudden your reflection comes out bright and clear down the road. So I think maybe it means farther down yet, or in time to come yet, to see more face to face. That's maybe wrong there, but, you know. So it says, but then... You know, like to come after, but you know.
That makes some sense when he talks in this terms of a mirror. Mine is now we see in a mirror dimly.
Right.
Well, then the fog.
Mm-hmm. The fog lifts.
Then you see face to face.
The New Living Translation for that verse reads, "Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, if you go back, like you were saying, Corky, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So now, keep in mind that something is coming that is perfect. Yeah. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known.
Right up ahead, sounds like heaven to me, but
yeah.
But I suppose I could be surprised.
Seems like it.
Yeah. And what I liked about the previous chapter or verses was it was speaking about a transition as
yeah.
looking at something immaturely as a child.
Right.
And then growing as you mature, you learned, and then you could see things mm-hmm. more clearly. So it was speaking of an evolution, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which
suggesting that there could be a great and powerful ministry here at the end in which we are elevated in the spirit to a much higher point than we've ever had any kind of dealings with in the past, you know.
If we get a little hesitation here, I'll give you some food for thought. I was contemplating and, you know, just thinking in the Lord. So Jesus was glorified. And now he is able, which is really hard to understand, he's able to know every one of our thoughts, a billion people, or however, trillion people, right? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Well. And you're going to be glorified with him. You want to know if you're going to know everything eventually? Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to be in the same capacity once we get into heaven as Jesus is.
It says when he appeared, we're going to be like him.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, God, that's how, because I was thinking, how can something be possible, you know, and then God, nothing's impossible. I mean, he was able to take Jesus, a man, glorify him and give him the same attributes as he has to know every thought, heart, everything.
Which has thrown the world into a turmoil because they think only God could do that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And God has allowed him to do
that. They just won't make that leap.
Yeah.
They go, no, there's no way a man could do that, so that therefore he's God.
And you know,
no, it's kind of like it sounds like God.
Yeah, and one of the things you have to become is not only is your soul still there, but now you are purely spiritual.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's mm-hmm.
Boy, that just puts a different perspective on it, doesn't it? If them thoughts are true,
let's instead of drawing conclusions, let's just heave it in our mind as thinking that.
Yeah.
Let the Lord clear it up. You know, it was a strange thing. The Jews crucified Jesus because they thought he was saying he was God. The people today will crucify anybody that says he's not God.
Yeah, funny. Well, you know, to be glorified is to be share attributes with God.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You know? By these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of his divine nature.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you partake in his divine nature. We're to be filled with the fullness of God.
Wouldn't that be part of his nature then?
Sure.
Wait till you hear this dream.
Back on
that. Yes, yes. Can you share this dream? You can tell me what you think.
It's all right. It's all right. But as soon as you sit there, they fall off.
Well, sleep over there.
Is,
yeah.
That is the
get a little
great,
more comfortable, huh?
That is yeah, what the scripture is saying. That is a great promise.
Looked like you were going to fall off there for a minute.
And if you fully buy in that Jesus wasn't doing the miracles except by God, you know, was doing God's miracles through him, it's the proof that with God all things are possible.
Yeah.
To your point.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Because, you know, without God, I'm not going to be able to heal somebody that's blind.
That's right.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't have that kind of power.
All right.
Yeah. You know. I don't have a kind of faith either.
And so,
there is that faith thing that gets in the way.
And so, actually, what he's doing, if you'll come to him and be his child, his son, daughter, he wants to give you a taste of it here.
Uh-huh.
You know? He wants to share some of that glory of his in you to minister.
So you would have attributes that are...
Yeah.
It'd be an earnest, it would just be a
right.
portion.
Yeah, but yeah. Which it says that's what the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah, right.
You know.
And you know, what makes sense about that is, as you say, just a taste. Because what happens with our flesh if we get more than a taste?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people get a healing ministry and then forget who's doing the healing?
Right.
How many people... but what I'm saying...
Yeah.
You get this ability, and then flesh gets in the way, and you forget to give glory to who the glory is deserved.
Oh, I just get a glorious thought. So, why are we doing those things yet? I think this is all to get us to be more spiritual than flesh.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So that temptation will just not have an effect. So I just that excites me that we're at where we're at yet, because he's preparing us and building a foundation in us that could turn away that desire to want to do it, saying we did it, you know, or
exactly.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah,
he wants, oh man.
You know, it is similar to the process of turning recruits into soldiers.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
going through. You know, I do think this, it's not that we are going to know everything. I don't know that Jesus knew everything. It's that he had access to all knowledge. So he would, like the woman at the well.
No, not on this earth. I wasn't implying we'd know everything.
Well, or even then, you know, I don't know if we may have access to all knowledge as opposed to
as a father
knowing, you know,
wants to give it.
Our brain would be a little too bit, you know well, access.
I don't think you're not going to have this brain in heaven.
Well, whatever.
There you go, thinking naturally.
I know everything.
Let's hope not, Charlie.
You know, what's that going to be, a brain?
Brain
well, whatever it is that knows all things, you know, where okay, not a brain, a different thing.
Where is the word air? A-E-I-R, air.
Huh?
Okay, I'll see.
H-E-I-R?
What? It's H-E-I-R.
Yeah.
It's air.
Right.
Where did he use that?
Oh, a couple places. Where was I just reading that the other day?
It says that we are heirs and joint heirs.
Yeah. Right.
What's the rest of that?
Is that in Hebrews? Or?
It's in a lot of places.
How about Hebrews?
Hebrews 1:2.
What does it say?
But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe.
Okay, what about joint heirs?
Well,
where does it say that?
Let me look that up.
Yeah, because that's with us.
Very good. Joint heirs 8:17.
What is it?
Hebrews?
Romans 8:17.
I thought maybe it was in Romans.
And if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ, Yet so, we suffer with him that we may be also glorified with him. Exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Romans 8, which you were in the other day, but it's a little further on. 8:30.
So when it says that eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man, the thing that God has prepared for them that love him.
Mm-hmm.
I got a sneaking suspicion. It's going to, we couldn't be there in the natural, they would blow our heads off.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, the question becomes, you know, which makes Christ who he was in the perfect sacrifices. How are we going to overcome our lower nature? I mean, when we're honest, we get up and go, you know, I get up and repent every day. And that's because I know every day I've sinned.
Right.
And so, with no or very little of God's power, authority, revelation, I'm a mess.
Well, and, we're filled with the fullness of God. I don't know if there's much room for sinning then.
Well, at that point, it changes. But I mean, until the transformation for some to full is a pretty rocky road.
That's right.
I submit it's a tough road for me.
Spirit can work pretty briskly, but
it could be in a blink of an eye. I totally. But I'm just saying. Well,
oh, I know. There's a long way to go.
I'm in violent agreement, not disagreement. But if we're to look at what happened to us back in the move, and there was not the fullness of God, but as we've said, God enabled to provide us some portion of his pure love. Mm-hmm. And it took not real long before we mucked it up because our lower nature didn't know how to, and we weren't grounded.
Right.
And didn't have the word that we have. And I, you know, when we talk about this, I just go, you know, because we wonder, you know, it's our unique experience that's probably brought us to this place, but we still recognize what has to happen. But I'm a sinner. And as much as I want not to be a sinner, I'm not yet able to overcome my flesh. As kind of Paul says, I don't want to do this, but I do this anyways. You know, and he had a lot more, I suspect, he had a lot more of God's spirit or fullness of God than I am currently working with. Just mm-hmm. taking a shot.
Well, he was taken in the spirit up into places that he didn't want to talk. He didn't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Didn't have the words to describe.
Yeah. And lest he should be exalted above measure, he was given a messenger of Satan. Thorn in the flesh, he was given it. God gave it to him. And you know what?
Kind of, that's another way of helping my point that God made sure by giving him that thorn that he didn't ever kind of forget.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't able to walk in the fullness yet.
Wow.
But, I don't know. Well, the last 5 minutes have been good for me.
You guys are going to have to make sure you tell Pablo how wonderful it was.
Where is Pablo?
You and Vision.
He made a bad choice.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he invited me to go with him. I said, I don't think so.
See, and when it was a certain time, I turned around on my ride and headed back to the truck.
And you were here a little before you expected to be here.
Yeah, than I expected, yeah.
Was it goading in the spirit then?
Yeah, big tailwind.
Bad in the tailwind, right? I love you for your honesty, brother.
Sounds like the Holy Spirit to me.
Yeah, that's right. It was the wind was blowing.
And another person came back with me, so that made it easier.
A little drafting going on tonight.
Well, and conversation. But with the wind, I mean, we were moving 17, 18, 19 miles an hour a lot of the time because of the tailwind.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, you have been getting a lot of these revelations, and I'm sure part of it is because it's speaking to you, and that's what God's want. But you come up with these things, and I just go, I can't think that big. I just meaning, you know, doesn't this say that we can be like Christ? And I go, yes, it does. It does say that. But then I go, why am I not thinking like that? I'm not willing to step out there and claim that yet. It's what Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that my brain goes, and Glenn kind of says, I don't know if my faith is there yet. But I'm like, yeah.
And
the funny thing is, it's me. Because God could do it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about how am I going to, you know, he's going to do it as long as I make myself available.
It's like, well, why did that thought come in my head? It ain't me. I mean, how in the heck would I, you know?
Yeah.
You're just reading, and all of a sudden, it's like the Holy Spirit says, well, did you see this with this?
Yeah.
You know, this means this is who you can be.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
I do think that the work of the Holy Spirit causes the words to mean what they mean.
Yeah.
That sounds a little odd, but I think, you know, we're clouded. We see through a glass darkly. We just read without the Spirit, and we're not catching what those words say.
Amen.
You know, what the Spirit does is takes away the screen or whatever, the filter or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, hey, the words that are right there, what the meaning of them is this, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what the Holy Spirit does.
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't even pick nothing of that until you just said that. It's like, you know.
It's just been, the Lord has been working, because you have been saying it two or three times now over the last, and I'm going like,
about it after.
And I'm going, oh, I see that, and I'm just going, and then I go, so then I do a little self-reflection, I go, I am so far from even thinking that's, you know, but then I go, so I'm, you know, then I, the battle that rages inside me goes, so you're going to say that God can't do this? No, I wasn't saying that. So you're going to say you're not worthy because of that? No, I'm not trying to say that either.
I think you are selling yourself a little short, though, Corky. I have known you to shine light on scriptures where I have the reaction I talked about.
You've been coming up with all lots of different insights.
Yeah, there are times that, I never saw that, but he's right.
And what that is, all that is,
it's the work of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit will guide you in the whole truth.
And each one in different things to where we get edified by all of it coming
amen.
In.
Yeah. No, I do.
I just,
it's the group, or it's the wholeness. It's not, but I have noticed, because I tend to be that way in the natural, I hear certain things, certain trains of thought that Charlie will say, or I'll hear a certain train of thought or revelation that Ken says. I just, and I kind of note this because my brain in the natural thinks that way. And I have this joy in my heart with what you say, and then I get checked all itself because, you know, the enemy comes out and says, so you really think you can obtain that? And then I have to go, then there's that little fight that goes on. Well, yes, I can with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, it just seems really big to me at the moment. But then when I, you know, kind of swept that one away, I go, okay, so this is the promise. And it keeps coming back to me like, this is the promise. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? I'm going to get excited for the promise.
How many times a day do you think I get confronted with, oh, you see that? Really? Then why aren't you doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Then why aren't you this?
Yeah.
Then why, you know, so it's,
I,
but that's what keeps you humble also, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, It's, yeah.
And the fact that you're confronted with it is wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it is.
Because there's a lot of people out there that aren't confronted
right.
with it.
Well, that's, yeah.
And you know there's a kind of a two-way work there. Some of it's for keeping humble. The others to, you're seeing also that obviously it's having a little effect on that other guy
yeah.
called the enemy, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
That he isn't too happy, you know.
You know,
with what you guys are getting.
It occurs to me that if your relationship with the Lord is comfortable, something is very wrong.
Yeah.
There is some real wisdom in that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That's another way of saying we've got to this point, and we stop because we're content.
Like, mm-hmm. like, oh, you don't have any fear of the Lord?
Yeah.
Gee.
Should go back and look a little harder.
Well, all I can say is, anywhere I'm at, I got some fear. Healthy fear, though. It's what... It's what brings repentance, you know.
Yeah, I mean, truly,
conviction
saved, always saved theology. I mean, it's just.
I would just love to have that.
Wouldn't
you?
Yeah.
Easy Street. Right?
Yeah, if you think about it, wouldn't that be great?
Or not the one that says, you know. The more you know, the more you're accountable for.
Yeah.
I'd like not to have that one, too.
Yeah.
I could pick or choose about 20, and I'd be a whole lot mm-hmm. more enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Well, you know, it is His grace is so good, though. It is so good. And if we were better at things, we wouldn't know the extent to which His grace is so good.
I had the thought a little earlier when we were talking about, you know, where we're at. And I thought, well, you know what we do then? We walk in faith, in mercy and grace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you have to. You walk by faith knowing He can get you there, but you hope for His mercy and grace in between for when you're stumbling and doing whatever you're doing.
Sure.
And it is there. That's the glorious thing.
Yes.
He does have it there, you know, and I don't think... We're going to take advantage of it if at all possible. We're trying to, you know, do what we can do,
mm-hmm.
become what He wants. But it's a process, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm thinking, well, if I got to just keep dealing with some of this stuff, there's a reason, you know.
Mm.
There's a reason.
Paul makes a statement, and I'm not sure where it's at. He says that. We are not of those who frustrate the grace of God.
Yeah.
Who frustrate the grace of God.
Don't want to do that.
No. I'm not sure where it's at. That's the word, frustrate.
You know, how grateful are we to the vision that God has for us? In the Old Testament, Sodom and Gomorrah, He wiped them out.
Yeah.
He built the flood. He saved a few people. He wiped the people out. Mm-hmm. You know, those two things right there is enough to scare you, if nothing else will, what God can do.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, to take and wipe all the population out of the world.
And He has a right to it.
Well, yeah.
He has a right to it.
Yeah.
He made it.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. You were referring to Galatians 2:21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Yeah.
I think that's what you were referencing.
I'm not sure.
Well,
I think that, I bet.
Yeah, probably.
I agree. I mean... You have to have the faith that in spite of yourself, God will get you to where you need to be. And we know that because His grace and mercy will cover us as long as we continue to be contrite and coming to Him like we know there's more that we need to know versus
I have the greatest love for God I've ever had. I have the greatest fear of God I've ever had. And knowing the mistakes that we have made and even a stupid thing in this that we've been a part of, it's like I don't want it anymore. I want the Lord to take care of me right up to the end and go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. And I believe it. It's a place. It's there. And God wants to take us there. And so I work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I think that Corky kept bringing that up. I don't know how many times over the years. And I think that's an ongoing thing right to the end. He that endures to the end shall be saved. It's like you work out your salvation for the fear. Okay, so we're getting some good revelations, and we are, major revelations. But we can't take anything for granted.
It is part of running the race, as I like to say. Yeah. With your last breath, because you're seeking God's heart.
The thing is, Keith Gunn did not do anything. Neither did you or anybody else.
Right.
God has taken care of it. He is the one that called us and chose us. And I don't want to be just called. I want to be chosen. I want to be part of it. Whatever you know. And that's who I am. I live that way. That's my inner being. That's me in the middle of the night. That's me in the middle of the day. I want to make it. And I don't feel an eternal security. Paul says that, that if after I have preached to many, that I could end up becoming a castaway. You know what? So could we.
Yeah.
And God knows that.
Yeah.
We could make a stupid decision and that would be it. But God knows whether we will or not. So that's what it makes it unfair. But not unfair. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that word. That's not the right word. It makes it weird.
It's occurred to me that grace is unfair. It's unfair.
Unmerited favor.
Yeah, right. Unmerited favor.
It's unfair to most of the world.
Yeah, right. The people who don't receive grace are...
Well, what do you mean you can actually could kill somebody and be forgiven? It's a terrible thing, but yes.
I've brought up Jeffrey Dahmer here with guys in jail. There was a minister that felt it on seriously on his heart to go and minister to Jeffrey Dahmer here while he was in prison. And he traveled up from Florida up here to Wisconsin to minister to him, and reported he gave his heart to the Lord somehow, and it wasn't too long after that he got killed there in prison. But anyway, Jeffrey Dahmer's a hard one to swallow.
Oh, yeah.
that's kind of the outer limits of grace.
I tell you, one of the nastiest things that I can think of any sins, and that's just because of who I am, the way we think of it, is David. Yeah. He takes Bathsheba and has her husband killed. Mm-hmm. And it says that he is a man after God's own heart.
Yeah.
Well, that makes no sense.
Well, it didn't say all the time.
Yeah.
Which I think is my point about flesh. There are moments I'm feeling okay.
Actually, I don't think it stipulates.
No.
So Jesus,
it just doesn't say it right after he did that.
Yeah.
And
so Jesus is going to be seated on the throne of David forever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my comment.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously not all the time.
That's
what I was trying to. Yeah, I didn't. He wasn't so much after God's heart when he was doing this, but in the cave he seemed to be after God's heart. So I was sarcasm.
What I know is this. There are a lot of adulterers who have raised, well, look at David. And he was a God, man after God's own heart. And they are not men after God. If you think that.
Right.
If you raise the example of David. Hey, look, David.
As your excuse, more
as your excuse,
or justification.
More or less. Yeah. Then you are not a man after God's
no,
own heart.
You aren't.
That's interesting.
But yeah, but that is a, see, that goes
makes it a little tough on the point. But
you can't necessarily ever figure out God's grace because
no, you can't.
Because only He knows every person and why He gives grace. You know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you get hung up with that, well, there's just no way God should have ever done that. So now you're telling God what He shouldn't do.
Yeah, you're passing judgment on God's judgment.
Yeah.
Right. Talk about a bad
Or person. No, He can't ever forgive somebody like that. They're horrible.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't. See, right there, you're putting your own self in jeopardy.
Someone that we all know or knew, we just had conversations about. It was sort of like, I know that it says that no sin is greater than another sin. But consider adultery. And the argument was that's got two people sinning. You know. That's two people sinning. So that's worse. And I'm going, I don't think you can. I know why you might feel that way, but I don't think Scripture bears that out. I've never thought of actually the comment about David, you know, because I just don't know how many people. Either you know the word or you don't, but know the word well enough to say, hey, what about David and adultery? And obviously, it's God's heart. Adultery is okay. And then I start thinking, you know, but that's the kind of fight that we're going to get when the enemy really comes after us, and we're going to have to be able to discern. Because that's someone trying to take Scripture and turn it away from God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is a definition of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
I have a specific instance in mind in which I'm thinking, you know. But I don't know how it is.
Mm. Well, like, I was going to read this a while back, but wait for you guys to...
Give me a break.
Take a breath. No. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you.
Yeah.
Really kind of gets at the heart of things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So. You know, I read that again the other day, and the thing that I went, wait a minute, why my mortal body? It's still my flesh, you know. Mm-hmm. But it says it will. How does it say that? It's about the mortal body.
It says the King James it will quicken,
give life to.
Yeah, it's Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you.
You know what? I think that's kind of the same thing that we've been talking about. It's like the Spirit, or the Spirit is subject to the how does it say it? The Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. The mortal body, while it's still a mortal body, while it's still here, has also got to take on the thing that will make the soul righteous.
Yeah, now that I just read that, it's saying that that you know, I keep thinking, well, you just got to completely do away with the flesh. Well, ungodly flesh, but that doesn't mean you couldn't have godliness in your body. I mean, it's saying your mortal body can now be subject to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think this notion of flesh and the body,
mm-hmm.
you know, flesh is not a kind of flesh. I don't.
Yeah, it's talking about the
lower nature.
Lower nature.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, not that they're in the connection.
Now that's unusual for you to say that, Charlie. You're saying this is not flesh, really? I'm trying to think what that other one was the other night that you kind of were saying that. Well, it could be that. I can't remember what this example was.
Mm. When we get all through, we're gonna know an awful lot of things for sure.
Yeah, things will become clearer.
You know, what Glenn was reading there, though, about the spirit quickening in our mortal body. Maybe it's dormant, in a sense, until it is quickened. Because I'm familiar with circumstances in which the spirit seems, it's gotten alive inside of me.
Well,
it wasn't a couple minutes before, and now it is. And
out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. What are we talking about?
That's
your border.
In the way I think.
That's right. It's talking about your bellies.
Don't forget the second part of James.
It says, give life. So, you know, there can be a deadness there or whatever until it gets life. And then,
well, quicken your
go ahead.
I was going to say, quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So, this is God's Spirit that's already in you.
It's in there.
That gets quickened by the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
So,
flipped the switch and turned on the light.
You get a little shot of the battery or the juice or whatever, and all of a sudden, as you said, you kind of feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, what were you going to say?
Yes.
Oh, I lost thought already. Sorry. I wasn't sure how I was going to tie it in anyway, but give me a minute. I'll think of it.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if you're going to get a break in a minute here, Glenn.
You know, Glenn, I usually don't remember, so interrupt me and I'm fine. But I was reading farther on because to maybe clarify this point we're on. Romans 8:12 goes, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not in the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So it's trying to get a little more around that.
I could use a little more mortifying, but, but anyway.
careful what you wish for.
Well, isn't it saying that when it quickens your mortal body that it will take care of that in verse 12? Probably. It'll bring you to that condition.
Maybe so. Yeah. The quickening of the spirit may.
It'll
just shed it or something.
Well, and going on, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it just kind of keep pounding on that, like, okay.
You know, Keith talks about the time when deliverance started, and he spent several months in a place where he just did not believe that he sinned, you know. And I haven't had that, perhaps a measure, you know. But I remember Keith during the period he's talking about. And it was just a great pleasure to look into that man's eyes. You know, you just saw love, saw God, saw truth, saw light, whatever. It was just, it was just a great pleasure to look in your eyes.
Mm. And I think that's what God is going to do if this takes time. when it's going to be a whole body of people that are so full of the love for one for other people. You know, what has happened to me in the last few years is that I don't know that there's anybody that I don't love. It's a strange thing. I had a little trouble with the eye doctor here, but...
yeah. Well, you're close, but not totally perfected.
I wanted to see what he was doing.
And maybe that's what it means by life to your mortal body.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that could be your thorn. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, can't think of the right word, but when you're out there preaching about God, or you know, talking to other people about God. You know, there might be, when you say life to your mortal body, there might be just something that's being presented that you don't know is gone, but the guy you're talking to might see some life in you that you don't know you've got. Mm-hmm. You know? But it's coming out. But, you know, you're just saying what words God's giving you, mm-hmm. and you're not thinking about them.
Right.
You know?
No, I definitely think that's true. I know that's happened in my life. Where people have made a comment to me, I'm just talking and didn't think it was anything spectacular.
The airplane
and,
on.
And no, much earlier.
At work?
I had a situation at work where during the move I had and I made the papers and someone knew I was at the church and the Christians in the group kind of, they sent the representative up to go up and talk to me because I was deceived. And so they sent someone up and asked me about what was going on and where I was at. And are you sure everything's okay? And I just started telling them what was going on and where I was. And, you know, people are saying things and there's lies out there. And I am not doing these things that are being said. And I am not in any way been brainwashed or in a cult. And I'm just telling them, I'm just kind of going through the facts. I mean, I wasn't angry. I just, you know...
Mm-hmm.
He gets done and he says, I swear I've been looking at Jesus for the last 15 minutes. The hairs on the back of my head are standing up. And he's like, he went down and told everybody, I don't know what's going on, but he is fine. You know, I didn't have one iota that what was going on would be impacting to him at all. I mean, literally what happened was somebody came up and was accusing me of being involved in some stupid cult. And I wasn't offended by it, but I was kind of laughing. I mean, I feel like, you know, this person knew me for a long time. I said, you've known me for a long time. Do you think I could fall prey to something like that? And, you know, then he kind of sheepishly said, I don't know, but I think I've been looking at Jesus for the last 10 minutes. He got up, walked on, and not a problem. None of the other Christians in the building had an issue, came up to me and said, well, I don't know what you told so-and-so, but he obviously was buffaloed. but to your point, I have that experience that I know God does that, and which is good because of where we're at now, it's like, it wasn't me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jesus.
See, that could be an example of what he means by life in your mortal body. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean... You might have a different thought on it, you know. But
I think that's. When they came to me at work, I said, "No. I go to Chippewa Valley Bible Church."
So your way of handling it was you lied. Is that right? Yeah. I see why you're worried about David then. It all makes sense.
It was.
You got the wrong church. All right. It's okay.
It was a stupid thing, but you know what?
Well,
it's really not any worse than any of the rest of them.
Well, we got through it.
The rest of them were false doctor and do so what they're doing today.
Well, as we've said, but I think it's a fair comment that we wouldn't be here if that hadn't happened, because the experience of that helped the other experiences, and you might not have received the invitation when you heard if you're serious, go where I am. And if you hadn't thought or hadn't realized the folly or all that got wrong, you might not have been. You might not have answered that, and we would not be where we are.
I heard a couple of sentences, but you know what happened? Inside, I heard a lot of things. Just like when I heard that dream today, that Candy was ahead. My spirit went other places. I saw things in the dream that she wasn't even aware of. Mm-hmm. It's quite a dream, and it's kind of like some of them that I've had. Only I'd say it's deeper than anything I've ever experienced, and it gives you a picture. And I don't want to get into it because I'll mess it up. But you have to hear it from her. Mm-hmm. You have to hear it from her, and then you tell me what you think.
We'll probably have to tell the world sometime.
Huh?
We've talked about it a lot. We're probably going to tell the world about this.
Yeah. Crap. Oh yeah. Yeah. That they shouldn't know. It's just that.
We should probably.
For all those things that happened in the past, was under God's plan, and He allowed it to happen in order to bring us to the point where we are. Like when Moses took the people out of Egypt, a lot of them people died on the way.
That's right.
He cleaned house. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. A lot of them made it, but mm-hmm. You know. Otherwise, where we, like you said, would we be where we're at today? You know?
I don't know that I would.
Oh, I know I wouldn't. I know. No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe it's a lot of what God's Word always says. There will be a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know?
You know what? I'd like to be part of it.
I'd like to be part of it, too.
Me, too.
Yes, amen.
Yep. Lori, yep. We know you would like to be a part of it, too.
Amen.